Hello and welcome to International Media. I'm Zeenat Hansroth. Native Americans once owned the land in the United States before white settlers arrived. Archaeologists believe that they have been on the North American continent for some 50,000 years. Today, they represent less than 1% of the United States' total population, an estimated 2.7 million tribal citizens associated with 567 officially recognized tribes. Tribal issues rarely make it to the mainstream U.S. media. When people outside the U.S. read, listen, or watch news about the country, it is as if America's First Nation has become a ghost nation. We're going to hear from three Native American journalists based in different regions of the U.S. Jenny Monet is an award-winning independent Native American journalist from the Laguna Pueblo tribe. She has long experience covering indigenous peoples across the world.
There's a serious need for the indigenous narrative. It's my opinion that the indigenous narrative is one of the most chronically underreported, if not the most chronically underreported narratives in mainstream today, not only in the U.S., but around the world. And what's interesting is out of those hundreds of tribes in the United States, you're really only seeing stories stem from a fraction of them. And I'm thinking of stories that you probably have heard of, stemming from the Dakotas or the Navajo Nation or the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. It's not a mistake that these tribes are among the most popular in the mainstream because the mainstream goes to where they're familiar. They like the poverty porn out of the Dakotas because it's so blatant. The cyclical nature of it is so raw and apparent. They like the Navajo Nation because it's so mystical with medicine men and the Southwest desert to show some kind of charming backdrop. They like the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma because who doesn't firmly believe that they have some ounce of Cherokee ancestry in their family lineage, right? I mean, these sorts of narratives, as told by outsiders themselves, have just been perpetuated for decades.
The fact that there is little news about Native Americans in mainstream media in America is very reflective of the fact that there are very few Native Americans in mainstream media working as journalists.
That's Kevin Aburesk from the Rosebud Lakota tribe. He's based in Nebraska, where he's the managing editor of Indians.com. It's an online Native American news platform run by the Winnebago tribe.
Editors are acutely aware of who their readers are. And I think they typically have a pretty good sense of what their readers want to read and what they don't think their readers will care so much about. For the most part, it is difficult for Native journalists to get editors of non-Native media to accept their story ideas and let them write those stories. Well, that's a general rule. Of course, it depends on the publication. Certain publications like the New York Times, certain smaller to medium-sized newspapers in areas where there are a lot of Native Americans, like the Rapid City Journal, those are places where there are a significant number of Native Americans. And I think those editors in those places understand that. And so it just depends on where you are in the country. And non-Native Americans, they keep, you know, they just have different interests for the most part.
Presumably, a journalist would go where the news is, and that has nothing to do with his own ethnicity. You don't have to be a Native American to write about Native American issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ideal. But that's just not how it works, in real practice.
So does that mean that you only cover issues related to the Black community if you're Black?
No, that's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're human, and we write about what we know about. That doesn't say that you shouldn't reach out to, you know, races or people who aren't like you. You absolutely should. I'm just saying, in practice, that's not typically how it works, at least not in mainstream media here.
In the U.S., you mean?
Yes.
One story that made it to the mainstream media around the world was the long protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Thousands of Native Americans and non-natives gathered in Dakota to support the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes in their fight against the pipeline. They say it desecrates sacred burial grounds and endangers their only source of drinking water. Across the globe, videos circulated showing violence against the protesters by private security guards, riot police, and national guards, who used sound cannons, rubber bullets, dog attacks. Jenny Monet stayed at the Standing Rock camp for months to report on the protests. She was arrested, and along with seven other journalists, is facing charges for criminal trespassing and rioting brought by Morton County. Why did it take such an alarmingly violent crackdown for news about Standing Rock to make the headlines? Jenny Monet.
It was the night of November 20th where people were maimed. You had dozens of people who were sent into hypothermic shock after being doused with water on a sub-freezing night in November, to the point where legacy media simply could not even ignore it anymore. They reported on that story 48 hours later. You know, it took extreme drama for that to happen. And I could name a couple of other stories where, you know, it takes for brown people to die before it becomes, unfortunately, headline news. If Standing Rock proved anything, it's that when you do stop, pause, and give some sort of attention to these issues, they're not that complicated at all. You just need a lot of people talking about them and to get people to be aware. And I think that Standing Rock is going to continue to be a case study for us when we look at the power of Indigenous media. And I think for me and my fellow Native journalists, we cannot forget those strides and those gains that were made from Standing Rock.
Journalism for Native Americans by Native Americans goes back to the 19th century with the Cherokee Phoenix newspaper founded in 1828.
That newspaper was democracy at work. It was sovereignty at work. It was the tribe itself having a voice and shaping a narrative that otherwise was just completely removed from any sort of publication back then. The Cherokee Phoenix newspaper is the first newspaper that we see stemming from Indian country. And what was beautiful about it was that it was bilingual. It was written both in the Cherokee alphabet created by Sequoia, but also in English, which was emblematic of the great diversity of the Cherokee Nation at the time. And it's not a mistake that in 1828, this newspaper emerged at a time when the Cherokee Nation itself was truly undergoing a lot of debate about what to do in the political climate of the time. They were facing forced relocation from their ancestral lands, and there was real consternation about whether to stay and hold true to those lands or to make the long walk of what we now call today the Trail of Tears.
Today, there are still a number of local tribal newspapers. Kevin Aburesk, whose native name is Chenko Heska, says that they are the most popular media platform among Native Americans.
There are a number of tribally owned newspapers in America. Most tribes of a certain size typically have a newspaper that they publish and that they distribute to their members on their reservations. Now, if you include those tribal newspapers, I think there is a significant amount of Native media in America. I would say that's primarily how a Native person living in Pine Ridge or Gallup, New Mexico, in Winnebago, Nebraska, it's typically how they would get their news is from their local tribal newspaper. But the kind of media that I work for, Indians.com, covers Native American issues on a national front. There's very little of that, just a handful of websites that do that sort of coverage. And that's a real problem. I mean, I hate to say it, but a tribal newspaper typically isn't going to cover a hearing in Washington, you know, related to some law that deals with Indian trust lands that's taking place on Capitol Hill. But that's something that Indians.com will cover, but not very many other Native media organizations would have covered that kind of an issue. There's also a aggregating website called the Pechanga.net that just collects headlines from across Indian country. And they might look on various social media channels as well for that kind of information.
For Jenny Money, Native American news should reach beyond its primary audience.
Who is Indigenous media for? Is it for the tribal communities? Is it for the outsiders? Is it somewhere in between? And I tend to say that it's somewhere in between, because I think to make it for tribal community only, I think you're really missing a big opportunity to bring an outsider acceptance of these, what I call one of the most chronically underrepresented narratives in the industry, and that's about Indigenous peoples. What we saw at Standing Rock, for instance, was this widespread embrace of concepts that I think editors themselves have often couched as topics that are too complicated to unpack or too weighty for their readership or their listenership to endure. And I think that moving forward, we cannot forget that, right? That these topics are not too complicated. What they are is sorely misrepresented, sorely underreported.
Levi Rickett in Michigan is the founder, editor, and publisher of Native News Online. He is from the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. Levi decided to set up this multimedia news platform 6 years ago in 2011.
It's our time to tell our story. We have some really rich stories, and I think that we're not portrayed very well in the media. It's a lot of times it deals with the alcoholism, the poverty, the negativity. You know, we were perceived as being conquested people, the losers. We don't see ourselves as losers by any extent. I try to really identify stories that really show the progress and achievements of American Indians and Alaska Natives.
It's more like a calling, Levi, rather than a job.
Yes, it is a calling, and it's almost like a trusteeship given to me by the Creator to really do my part. We served many tribal nations from around the United States. So more on a collective basis, I can see a bigger picture than just one tribal issue. So I've tried to purposely find writers from around the country that can write about their region, their tribal nations. And whereas the non-native media will not always write about our stories, we can certainly do it.
And that was also a factor that motivated Jenny Money when she decided to opt for the precarious position of a freelancer rather than being attached to a particular news organization.
I feel as though my prospects of having the stories that I want to pursue that I feel are important in the vein of work that I do, which is about Indigenous peoples and the Indigenous rights movement, is that I actually have a greater chance of getting these stories published if I have many editors that I can pitch to as a freelancer, as opposed to maybe one or two as a staff writer or a staff producer working inside a major news organization. In my 20 years of working in the business, I've worked for some of the biggest brands in the industry, and I understand how newsrooms operate and function. And when you're independent, I can choose many of those decision makers from a variety of publications and pitch and pitch and pitch.
Kevin Aburesk had been working as a journalist for 18 years, most of them with the Lincoln Journal Star, a non-native daily. But he recently decided to work full-time for the Native American news site, Indians.com.
I've always wanted to work for native media, but I've also, you know, for a long time felt like it was important to reach out to non-Native Americans and try to educate them about issues facing Native Americans. Obviously, the best way to do that is to reach them through some form of media that they read. So I went to work for the Lincoln Journal Star in Lincoln, Nebraska, you know, back in June of 1999, and spent the last 18 years delving into Native American issues, writing those stories for the 50,000 or so daily readers of the Lincoln Journal Star, most of whom are non-Native American. Now, I recently decided to go to work for Indians.com, in large part because there's recently been some big changes in the world of Native American journalism in America. There was a newspaper and website called Indian Country Today that was considered the largest and most influential Native American news source. They recently decided to shut down, at least for now. Now, that really leaves a huge vacuum in the world of Native journalism. And I kind of felt it was important for Native journalists to try to step up and try to fill that vacuum as best we can. And so I decided I'd try to go to work for Indians.com.
When you were working for non-Native media, was it difficult to get Native news accepted by your editors?
You know, sometimes it was. You know, I have great editors, and for the most part, they really appreciate the stories that I bring to the newspaper. And certain stories, they would always agree to do. So, you know, we have a small town here in Nebraska called White Clay, and it's just a little town of about 14 people, but there are four beer stores in White Clay that sell about 4 million cans of beer every year to residents of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. So basically, this is just a little town that was set up just to prey on the addictions of the Oglala Lakota people. And all these beer stores are owned by non-Indians. Now, that's an issue that's been prevalent in Nebraska for decades now, and something I've covered for the last 18 years. Anytime I write a story about White Clay, my editors would always, you know, appreciate that because they know their readers wanted that. Now, other stories I would try to pitch to them that were more like profiles of Native American people in Nebraska, you know, they weren't always as excited about that.
It took 2 years of incubation before Levi Rickert's Native News Online was launched. A sustainable business model providing independent reporting isn't easy to achieve. Levi Rickert says that he's constantly trying to figure out how to make it work on the small Native media scene.
It is a struggle. There's no two ways about it. We have to fight for advertising dollars or sponsorships, and many times we are marginalized. And there again, it's a passion that I have, and it's something that I think is necessary.
How do you overcome the obstacles then?
Pray a lot. But you can't stop. For instance, you know, when I look for advertising, if I get people to tell me no, you just have to get past the no's and get to people who say yes, that they're willing to help support such an endeavor. So you have to have the tenacity to keep going even when it looks dismal out there. One of the biggest compliments I think I've received since I've been in business is one December, a woman sent me a email, and she said, "You write how we Indians want to be written about."
There's gotta be some hope. There's gotta be some hope.
You may follow the journalist interviewed by going to their websites. Jenny Monet is the host of the podcast Still Here, Modern Stories of Resilience, Indigenously Told. Kevin Aburesk is on Indians.com. And for Levi Rickert, click on nativenewsonline.net. And it's goodbye from me, Zenat Hansrod.
It's gotta be a crime somewhere in your heart you'll find we're fighting for our rights and protect the ones we love. In the river is our sisters and our brothers. We are camping out for each other. Stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. You've gotta have a soul. Mother Earth protects us all. If you treat her with disrespect, then what message have you left for your children and their home? In the river is our sisters and our brothers. We are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. How can you take and take and not appreciate the soil? Don't let this black snake contaminate our drinking water. This is for our sons and daughters. each other. We're stronger when we bend.